Last week when we did the message, started talking about the power of God's Word. God's Word is our only real effective weapon against the enemy. Read the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, which we'll read again today. Joey Petrilla came up to me and says, "Hey, that's really cool. I was starting to think about that whole armor of God thing and how all those other pieces of armor really come from God's Word." And I'm like, "That's my message next week." He's like, "Oh." So Joey's going to come up and preach my message instead. No, he's not. He's not quite ready yet. But I do want to tap into that. In fact, today I want to take what we talked about last week and I want to carry it farther. I want to show you exactly how important God's Word is to you and everything that comes from it. Well, not everything, but today is almost a comprehensive list. I've got 5 pages and 30 points. And I'm serious, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. This list today is kind of the antithesis to the list that we talked about 2 weeks ago, things that hinder the work of God. Today is a list of things that come by the power of God's Word, specifically. So again, I'm going to reiterate the idea here that the Word of God, this is not something that you do in a list of things to be a believer. This is the foundational thing. This is where it all starts. This is where life comes from. So I want to go back. I want to read Ephesians 6 again, the passage that we started with last week. And let's go through this, because I want to focus on a few things in this passage, and then we're going to dive into a whole bunch more. And I pray that this will be a help to you. My goal is that every week I want you to be excited about coming, because you're going to get something that will help you. I want people to say, "Man, I really wish I didn't have to miss, or I really wish I hadn't missed that." Well, actually, I'd rather them just be here. But you know, the truth is, like, we're going to try to make this available. But I hope and I pray as we continue this series on spiritual warfare that the information and the stuff that you get from this is going to help you in ways that you never would have been able to predict. So let's look at this. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." This is what we want you to be. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's your enemy, folks. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Now, last week we focused on the fact that the only offensive weapon in this armor was the sword. You know, you don't really go on the attack with a helmet. You could, but that would be silly. You know, you could either just run at somebody with your head or take your helmet off and throw it at them. But you really don't want to take your helmet off, because then you're not protected. So yes, understand that when Paul was writing this, you know, in his mind, the kind of armor that he was picturing, the kind of armor that would have been the most commonly pictured in the day would be the Roman armor, the Roman centurion, the Roman soldier. The Word of God, as we talked about last week, is our only real offensive weapon. Now, the point that Joey was bringing up to me, and the only reason I refer to Joe as Joey, because I know he's not a kid, is because it's just easier to distinguish him from the other Joes in our midst. all the other Joes. And, you know, he was saying, "You know, I was looking at that, and all those other things really come from the Word." And I'm like, "Bingo, give the man a cookie." And does anyone have one? No, that's okay. He doesn't need a cookie. We had Christmas. but the truth is, I want to go through some of these other things, and I want to show you that these things come from the Word of God. So not only is the Word of God your weapon, but it is your source of everything else that you need. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is truth. In the armor, we have the belt of truth. Let's talk about truth. Where does truth come from? Obviously, God's Word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth doesn't come from drumming it up. Truth doesn't come from dreaming it up. Truth doesn't come from philosophizing about it. Our source of truth is the foundation of God's word. His goals, his desires, his plans, what he says. He says it, it comes into being. Let there be light. There is light. An interesting thing about truth, too, is, this is kind of a side note, when you looked at the belt that the Roman soldier would have worn, there was the belt that kind of held the breastplate on, and it also had the little leather straps. I always refer to them as the leather hangy-down things. That's the technical term, no. The idea being that the belt, you know, it was more than just a belt. There was more to it than that. And because to Jewish people, they saw the seat of the emotions as the bowel area. You know, for us, we say things like, I love you with all my heart. When the reality for Jewish culture, emotions were in the seat of the stomach. You know, so when it talks about Jesus feeling compassion, it talks about a compassion that comes from the pit of the stomach. So I love you with all of my intestines, Pat. I'm sorry. And when you think about truth and you think about emotions, you know, a lot of times the enemy he'll run us in circles using our emotions and the way that we feel. And you get the sense that the truth, the belt of truth, protects our emotions, because if we know the truth will what? Set us free. You know, so the belt, not only did it hold things together, but it also protects that area that, you know, the Jewish people would have associated with their emotions, you know, because truth is powerful. Truth supersedes, or at least should supersede, what we feel. Number two, righteousness. You know, the breastplate of righteousness. So when you think of a breastplate, I mean, that protects everything that's vital, right? The heart of the man, the lungs. I mean, when you are injured in the area, you know, of your chest and all of the organs behind that, it's vital. You know, it can be dangerous when you find yourself injured in that area. But the idea of righteousness, or simply put, rightness with God, it's really nothing more complicated than that. You know, righteousness seems like such a lofty word, but there's a sense that we can become right when we are right with God, and that righteousness comes from the Word of God. Romans 1:17 says, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So this gospel of righteousness, you know, anytime you read in Scripture about God's word or gospel or God's statutes, God's law, I mean, this is a reference to God's word. And it's righteousness that comes from God's word. Why does it come from God's word? But because God speaks it. You know, yes, we know that Christ makes it possible, but the truth is that righteousness, this rightness that we need to have in order to be protected, this rightness that we need to have in order to be right with God, comes from the Word of God. Number three, we talk about having feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Preparation, readiness. You want to be prepared? You want to be ready? You got to know what God's Word says. Read this scripture last week, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you are thoroughly equipped, you are ready. I don't want to be half-equipped or partially equipped or not equipped. You know, we have a tendency to skip this step of realizing that God's word has all of this stuff available to us, and we try to get ready by psyching ourselves up and hoping and wishing or praying or conjuring things into existence that just don't exist. And if you want to be ready for anything, what you need to do is spend time immersing yourself in God's word, digesting it, chewing on it, studying it, reading it, processing it. Only then are you going to find yourself ready for anything. Without God's word, you won't. You'll find yourself just kind of out in the open battlefield, a target. No breastplate, no belt, no shoes, no shield. Number four, faith. You know, and again, look, sometimes people will preach messages on how faith is just sort of granted. And I don't believe that. Because Scripture shows us very clearly that faith is a measure of faith is given to us by God, but then our faith is built by God's word. Our faith grows in proportion to the amount of God's word that we digest and live by. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So if I want my faith to be built, I've got to find out what Christ has said. If I don't know what he said, my shield will be small or non-existent. So if you want to be able to effectively, as Ephesians says, quench the fiery darts of the evil one with your shield of faith, it needs to be a big shield. And the onus is on you to grow that shield by application of God's word in your life. Listening to what Christ has said. Read what God's word has said. You read it, it will build your faith. It will. It just will build your faith. You don't have to pray for extra faith. Open your Bible and read it. It will grow your faith. Truth comes from the word. Righteousness comes from the word. Preparation and readiness come from the word. Faith comes from the word. Salvation comes from the word of God. The problem that we have is a lot of us go out and maybe we're saved, but that's it. Which is great because a helmet protects your head. But the way my mother-in-law put it years ago in a sermon, and she got a gasp in the audience, was too many Christians are out on the battlefield and they're naked from the neck down. They have a helmet and that's it. You know, and so there's a certain amount of protection that comes from being saved, a certain amount of protection that comes from having a helmet. But unless you deliberately pursue equipping yourself with these other things, and this is not just a mental exercise of I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. That's nothing. My invisible breastplate. No, I have to claim this righteousness because the word of God has made me righteous. And Satan, you don't go there. You understand? Salvation, James 1:21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Well, that covers the armor, but there's so much more. There is so much more. Maybe you didn't know comes from the word of God. Number six, cleansing. Cleansing. You know, a lot of times we deal with junk in life that just hangs on us. Past things, emotions, feelings, garbage that needs to be washed away. Sin. John 15:3, Jesus speaks to them. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. God's word makes you clean. You know, we find ourselves like Isaiah did, standing before God and perhaps saying, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. But the reality is when we come to God and confess our sin, the Bible tells us that he is faithful and just and will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's through the power of God's word that we are made clean and can stand before God as clean, even though we don't think we are or think we were. You know, it ties in with that is number seven, the new birth, the concept of being born again, of being renewed, of being a new creation. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. God's word makes you new because he speaks it, he says it. Let there be light, there was light. You're a new creation, you're a new creation. Your sin has been cast away as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. And he has made you new. Sounds like my baby girl. Always makes me want to talk fast so we can have mercy on who is ever in the nursery. All right, strength. Number eight, strength. You feel weak today? You need strength? Guess where you're going to get it? Not Wheaties. Well, maybe. But real strength, deeper strength, you know, while exercise and diet definitely has value in the physical realm, you can be in great shape physically but feel like the whole world is crashing down around you and you feel like you're Atlas holding up the world and you're not going to be able to do it much longer. You need strength 1 John 2:14, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil. You want to be strong, the word of God has to live in you or you will not overcome the evil one. You say the enemy, if he can keep you in a place where you don't take that proactive approach, where it says, you know, I realize that I'm weak, so I'm gonna do something constructive with my time, and I'm gonna read, and I'm gonna find out what the Word of God says about this thing or this situation or what I'm going through. I'm just gonna read, and you're gonna build your strength that way. You can do that. If the enemy can keep you from doing that, then you'll stay weak and ineffective. Here's a big word, number 9, sanctification. Sanctification. Okay, this is a word that talks about being consecrated, set apart for God's service, being cleansed and made clean. I mean, it's a big word. But this comes as a result of God's word. And there's different words that we'll read in these next couple of scriptures that tie into that. 1 Timothy 4:4-5. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. In this case, in the NIV, the word consecrated is another word that may be used instead of the word sanctification. You might find that in a different translation. Consecrated, set apart, blessed. Ephesians 5:25-26. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So we have this sense. And again, the word sanctify is used in other translations where Christ, through his word, cleanses, sanctifies, sets apart, makes holy that which was not. You know, somebody walked up to you on the street and put a microphone in your face because they were interviewing something for a news station and says, are you a holy person? Your tendency would be to say, no. My Bible says otherwise if you've given your heart to him. Number 10, healing. Uh-oh, getting a little charismatic here now. Look, it's the truth. God's word says it, all right? I mean, look, you need healing in your life. God's word is powerful. Psalm 107:20. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Or if you want to be more proactive about it and be more, kind of get a jump on things, health. Number 11. Healing, health, these are things that come from God's word. Proverbs 4:20-22 says this very clearly. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. There's a principle that says if you want to be in a place where God is able to have that kind of influence on your physicality, then you need to cling to God's word and keep them close. You see, we're interlinked, folks. Our spirit, our mind, our body, they're connected. You know, when you're physically tired, you can feel spiritually under attack because you're weak. When you're emotionally drained, it affects your spirit and your body. When you're spiritually under attack, it can affect you. So you keep your spirit in tip-top shape. That's going to bleed over into other aspects of your life. It just will. Health and healing are things that come as a result of God's word. Number 12. Scripture says that success comes from God's word. This is what God told Joshua. Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, it doesn't come from like taking the Bible and stick it under your pillow and hoping that by osmosis it absorbs into your brain. It comes from doing what's written in it. Meditating on it day and night. So that then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. What else comes? Number 13, growth. Growth comes. You want to grow? Well, the Word of God is like your food. And you don't grow if you don't feed yourself. 1 Peter 2:2-3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know, a lot of people go to church, you know, and they say things like, well, I go to church to get fed once a week. If that's your diet plan, you will shrivel away. You know, and I get this picture, some people are waiting for the pastor to fling spiritual baby food at them. You know, it's like, ah, 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 you know, and the truth is, my job is to show you where the banquet is, and you need to go eat. You know, you need to do that. And so there is a sense that you get into the habit of feeding yourself from the Word of God so that you might grow. Number 14, persuasiveness. You ever wanted to be a persuasive person? We read today in our Sunday school class about Apollos in Acts chapter 18 and how he became a very persuasive apologist for the gospel and spent time arguing with the Jewish people that didn't believe that Christ was the Messiah, and he would take the scriptures and prove to them why Christ was the Messiah. You know, and there are times when, you know, maybe you don't feel very persuasive, but there is a sense that you that God's word can give you the ability to be a persuasive person. Titus 1:9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. You know, sometimes our approach as Christians, we're a little bit weak. You know, our goal is just not to offend people and hope that maybe nobody's mad at us. When the reality is there are times that we have a responsibility. When somebody says an untruth and they say something that's just blatantly wrong, we shouldn't apologize for saying, you know what, I can refute that and I will because this is what the Word of God says. Blam. Blam. Persuasiveness. Number 15, consistency. Spent some time talking about this in our class, the power of consistency, living a consistent life. Go back to the scripture that we read at the beginning, Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in what? In the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I love the visual picture that creates. When you live by the word of God and meditate on it, and you're dedicated to applying it, you're like that tree with the deep root system. You know, no matter what's going on around you, there can be storms, there can be dry periods, but there's a consistency and a stability there of a healthy tree that has deep roots that is blooming in spite of some of the things that may be going on around the outside, because it's driven its roots deep into the source. 16, how many of you want to be wise? I'm assuming most of you. I mean, I'm assuming that none of you woke up today and says, I am going to be an idiot. You know, we don't do that on purpose. That just sort of happens. But to avoid those days, there is a sense that we can pursue wisdom from the Word of God. Psalm 119:98, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You know, I mean, look, I could make this sermon 14 hours long by, you know, adding, you know, dozens of scriptures to each of these. But, you know, you can do some research and find more. Just giving you one example. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Let's carry that a little farther. What, maybe I want to go farther than wisdom. I want to be a discerning person. Discernment, that's when you kind of have insight into things that you shouldn't normally have insight into. And going back to one of the scriptures we read last week, for the word of God is living and active, or living and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know, there are times where we need discernment when we deal with people because, you know, it's like, God, I need insight into what's going on in that person's heart because, you know, I need you to help me not be mad at them because of the way they're acting. And God shows you, you know, it's not about you. It's about something they're going through. And that discernment is a powerful thing. There are days you need discernment because you don't know what your problem is, Mr. Krabby Pants. You get up and it's like somebody's like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, I don't know what's wrong with me. So there, you know, and you find yourself, you want to get into the Word because you need some insight into yourself. You know, my problem yesterday is I was trying to install a dishwasher. Finally got it done. No leaks, but the process made me crabby. Yeah. But it's amazing how discernment can take us, it can help us resolve conflicts, it can help us draw closer to one another, it can help us get to the bottom of our own problems when we're having crabby day. father-in-law said, you know, you have that day where you wake up crabby and other days you just let her sleep. He said it, not me. Generally, I'm the one that's crabby, and Laura should have let me sleep. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. No, the truth is we wake up like that. And there are times where we think it's just, you know, whatever. And the truth is there are times where if we really get into it a little deeper, there's something that happened last week that we didn't deal with that, you know, the Word of God can give us some insight into our own issues. And we need to pursue that. 18. Takes wisdom and discernment farther. Understanding. I want to understand things. I want to be able to know how to apply this stuff. Psalm 119, 130. 119 is a long chapter, if you were wondering. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. This is fantastic if you're one of those people. You feel like, I'm just stupid. I'm just dumb. You know what? You don't have to be. I'm serious. And stop saying that because it's not true. The reality is the Word of God is there and it's available to give you light and to give you understanding and to make you wiser than the smartest person in the world. Purity, number 19, purity. We live in an impure world, but the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You want to win the battle? And being a pure person, having a pure heart, the more of God's word that you take into yourself, the more the Spirit of God is going to be able to use that to convict you and to help you overcome temptation in your life. Number 20, this is kind of interesting, angelic involvement. What's that all about? Well, you know, we have these beings that we don't see. You know, there's a real big angel fad in the 80s. You know, it was all kind of new age and people were praying to angels and making angel statues and everything. This is simply put, God has made angels ministering spirit servants, ministering spirits and messengers to accomplish his will. And Psalm 103:20 says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. You know, we're fighting a spiritual battle. We need to engage some spiritual help. And it's really through the word of God that these forces of light will work on our behalf against the forces of darkness. And it's God's word that does it. Number 21, freedom. Maybe you need some freedom in your life. You're bound up. John 8:31-32, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Number 22, longevity and peace. Longevity and peace, really? Yeah, Proverbs 3:1-2 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. I mean, argue with me if you want, but I'm just reading the scripture, all right? This is what it says. So, number 23, life. Life, Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Eternal life, John 8:51, I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. God's spirit and life, John 6:63, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Number 26, perfected love, concept of God's love being perfected in your life, completed, established. 1 John 2:5-6 says, if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. No, so understand, it's not like hocus pocus. This is, I figure out what God's word says. I do it. I live like Jesus, and the love of God is made complete in me through that process. All because of God's word and the application of that word in my life. Number 27, hope. Are you feeling hopeless today? Hope comes from the word of God. Psalm 130:5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. I don't put my hope in hope itself. I don't put my hope in wishful thinking. I don't put my hope in promises of people. I put my hope in the only thing that has been established and will last forever. Number 28, joy. How's your life right now? Are you living a life of joy, or is your joy been sapped? Has it been sucked away? Jeremiah 15:16, when your words came, I ate them. They were the joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Kind of an interesting picture. The Word of God, taking God's words and in essence eating them, taking them in so that they become my joy and my heart's delight. Reminds me of the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Number 29, it's the quickest 30-point sermon you probably ever had. 29, answers to prayer. Answers to prayer. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Answer to prayer. The key to seeing God move on your behalf, to seeing prayers answered, is in the Word of God. Then let me end on this last point, number 30. The Word of God builds us up. It builds us up. Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Maybe you're here today and you feel a little bit tore down. You feel a little bit broken. I love the picture of being built up, because there's a sense of a very deliberate foundation being built and a sense that God is constructing something to last, like Lego blocks. Love building Lego blocks with the kids. Now, for some people, the most fun part of Lego blocks is destroying them after the fact. But, you know, it's not what we're talking about. The idea is that we're taking something and God wants to deliberately build you up. But again, you know, we find ourselves so often struggling with things and needing to see God move, and we're sitting there, we're kind of discouraged, we're kind of in despair, we're kind of hopeless, and we don't really do anything because it's like we're waiting for God to come and do something else, and God is saying, I want to do something, but it's going to require you to actually get up off of your feet and to begin to do this so that I can then begin to move. You need to begin to read my word. You need to meditate on it. You need to pursue it. You need to apply it. And when you start to do that, you're going to see these other things happen. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to keep plowing through here. And we're going to look at the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of unity as a body. And we're just going to keep pushing. And the kingdom of darkness, I believe, in this area will crumble, because it has nothing to stand against. We have God, the creator of the universe. We have Jesus who died for us to make this possible. The Word of God, his Spirit. You know, what's the problem? Enough is enough, right? Let's take this town back. All right, let's pray together. Let's stand. Father, I thank you so much for the things that come from your word, the things that you give us. And I know, God, that we just talked about 30 things, and this is not a comprehensive list, but I know if there are people here today that are struggling, that are having a hard time, that feel weak, that feel tired, that feel worn out, that feel stretched thin, God, that there's healing for that there's restoration for that, there's building up for that, God. And I pray that as we are diligent in seeking your word and applying it and reading it and eating it and digesting it and meditating on it and putting it into practice, God, that we're going to see these things manifest themselves in our lives. And people are going to look and they're going to see the consistency and they're going to see the wisdom and the discernment and the understanding that we display. And I know, God, because you are lifted up, that you will draw men to yourself. So we thank you, God, for what it is that you are going to do, what it is that you want to do. And I pray, Father, that you would help us get into a position where we would allow you to do the work that you've started and continue it, so that we might see it manifest in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, just do it.